I appreciate you being here. You know, as I travel across Missouri, I'm all over, from Cameron to Kennett and Joplin and St. Charles, is one thing I keep hearing over and over again, and that's that people are just really fed up with business as usual in Washington. They've had enough of this culture in Washington that breeds corruption and influence peddling and seems to put corporate special interests before it does regular families. At the same time, they're running up the debt and they're putting our future at risk. And I'm fed up with all of that, too. That's why I say it's time to stop the bull and fix what's wrong in Washington. And what do I mean by that? People ask sometimes. Well, some of y'all know that I still run our family cattle farm outside of Rolla. And I learned a lot of lessons there on the farm. And I learned that that some of those lessons are things you can also use just as well in life off the farm. One of those lessons was that I learned to know bull when I see it. Useful in this line of work. Another thing I learned was if something breaks on the farm, you fix it. You don't bicker and complain. You don't blame somebody else. You don't say it's too big or too complicated. You just fix it. And those are simple lessons that they need to learn in Washington, because Washington's broken today. We know that. It needs to be fixed. There's this culture of corruption that influence peddling. It puts powerful special interests ahead of regular people. And it's a culture that encourages wasteful spending and unnecessary spending and doesn't hold anybody accountable for how money gets spent. How we fix what's broken in Washington is something I've been talking a lot about on the campaign trail. You'll be hearing more about it. We've already been traveling around talking about how to stop the wasteful spending and how to start putting middle-class families ahead of the powerful special interests and folks that are too big to fail. But today I want to focus on another chronic Washington problem, and that is stopping the culture of corruption and starting to work for the middle class again. Now, as Secretary of State, I've put Missouri families first. That's what I've done because I know that's who I work for. I've worked hard to cut costs and red tape for businesses, and we've had a success in that. We saved over $12 million in the last 5 years for small businesses. So that leaves them more time and more money to put into what they do best, which is growing jobs in our economy. In the past 3 years alone, I've done a lot to stand up for consumers. In time when folks in Washington were asleep at the switch, we've gotten back over $10 billion for tens of thousands of people, from big financial institutions and small-time scam artists. We've worked hard across party lines to set up the Senior Investor Protection Act. It's one of the toughest laws in the whole country when it comes to protecting seniors against financial fraud. So standing on the side of Missouri families against the Wall Street interests of the folks in Washington is what I've done as Secretary of State. It's what I'll continue to do in the United States Senate. But unfortunately, the truth is, and we know this, that there are some people, like my likely opponent, who have been in Washington just way too long. They get there, they become way too cozy with the powerful special interests and seem to forget about the folks back here in Missouri who they're supposed to be working for in the first place. To me, that represents the very worst of what's going on in Washington, and it's this culture of corruption that we've got to stop if we're ever going to get our country back on track, to get our economy jump-started and create those jobs and get our budget under control. So here's my plan. These are the first three things I think that we need to do to fix this broken culture in Washington. The first is we need to stop the unlimited access that the lobbyists now have and start cracking down on the corruption. It's real. It's there. The first way we do this is we've got to stop this revolving door between the lobbyists and the Congress. Because for far too long, these corporate special interests, they've reaped these benefits of having members of Congress or their staffs cycle back and forth from K Street to Congress, and it gives them an inside track on getting stuff done. Just an example of this, the financial industry alone, listen to this, has 1,500 former members of Congress, staff members, or federal employees that now lobby on their behalf. 1,500. These are folks that were paid handsomely to either stop or water down Wall Street reform. It's those cozy relationships that have got to stop. So I think what we need to do as a first step is have a permanent ban on members of Congress ever becoming lobbyists, ever becoming lobbyists, and a 6-year ban on congressional staff going back to lobby their bosses. The next thing I think we need to do is have publish online the details of meetings members of Congress have with lobbyists. You know, there are 24 lobbyists for every member of Congress. Think about that. 24. Last year alone, that industry, $3.5 billion was spent paying lobbyists. And it seems to me voters deserve to know who their folks are listening to, who these people who are supposed to represent them are listening to. That's why I think members of Congress should have to post the dates, the times, and the content of the meetings they have with lobbyists. Folks deserve to know it. We also need to get rid of this structure of what they call these lobbyist war rooms. You ever heard about this? It's kind of unbelievable, really. In Washington speak, what this means is when they invite a bunch of lobbyists in to the Capitol building, set them up in an office, and let them have that space to run their lobbying operation and get what they want. These war rooms, they need to be shut down, banned once and for all. Lobbyists shouldn't be writing legislation. Members of Congress should be listening to their constituents, not the last person that cornered them in the hall of the Capitol. The second thing we need to do to end this corruption in Washington is stop the free flow of money and start with real reform. First step there, I think we need to abolish leadership PACs. Now, you might not know what these are, but they're these special little funds that if you're an incumbent member of Congress, you can set up, but no one else can. It's a way to skirt the rules, and it's an exclusive way for them to raise and spend money. Too often, these accounts become like slush funds. They are used to fund lavish travel and entertainment. It's time it stopped. That's why we need to ban all leadership PACs and put an end to this backdoor way lobbyists get to put more money into incumbents in Washington. I think it's also time we strengthen our campaign finance reporting system. The reporting system now is just completely antiquated. It lags far behind the rest of the times. In fact, in the United States Senate, candidates don't even file their reports electronically. So that prevents regular people from finding out who's funding their campaigns. And while we're at it, we ought to require them to file these things every month and make sure all this information is posted online. It's also time that members of Congress are banned from accepting contributions from anybody who's under investigation by Congress. Now, this might seem really obvious, but believe it or not, this still happens. If you're under investigation by a congressional committee, you can still turn right around and give money to anyone and every one of those members of the committee that's supposed to be investigating you. It's completely crazy. It's a blatant conflict of interest, and it's got to stop. And just recently, the big oil giant Halliburton had a spike in campaign contributions just after Congress started an investigation in what happened down in the Gulf. It's got to stop. These folks need to be banned from making these political contributions when they're under investigation. The third thing we need to do in this culture of corruption is to stop all these backroom deals and special favors. You know, we hear about them all the time, and start real enforcement rules. The number one way we need to do that is stop earmarks. Ban them once and for all. It's become a corrupt and abused process. It is way past time that we have an open and transparent and accountable way that tax dollars get spent. Now, there are some people, like Congressman Blunt, who thinks we should just stop earmarks for this election year and then just go right back to business as usual next year. No kidding, you really did say that. It's unbelievable to me. I've got a better idea. Let's scrap them all for good. It's long past time that we end all earmarks. We also need to crack down on these backroom deals. You all know what I'm talking about. Because every day, these thousands of lobbyists, they fan out over the Capitol to try to work for their special interests, not all of us. And despite what we learned in high school civics about how a bill becomes a law, it turns out there are folks in Washington that all the time try to slip special favors into bills without having votes on them, without open debate, without accountability and transparency. I say it's time to stop those kind of insiders game in the system and make sure every provision is voted on through the proper process and that these bills are posted online 72 hours before a vote so all of us can see what they're voting on as well. We also have got to just finally come around to really strengthening congressional ethics enforcement. Because for far too long, members of both parties have been skirting the rules and looking out for each other and their friends. Leaders in Washington, they ought to be held to the highest standards, just like everybody else. And if they fail to meet those, there ought to be real consequences, just like everybody else. I think it's time that the Office of Congressional Ethics had a real subpoena authority and real authority to investigate and real authority to punish those who have violated the public trust. You know, in the real world, if you break a law, you can't file a waiver. They shouldn't be able to do it in Washington either. So that's my plan. Those are the first three things I think we need to do that we ought to be able to agree on to do to stop this unlimited access, the free flow of money, all the backroom deals, and start with real reform, real enforcement, and cracking down on corruption. And I know these things sound obvious, don't they? It just seems like common sense. But there are some in Washington, like my likely opponent, Congressman Blunt, who've just gotten so caught up in the culture of the place that they forget who they work for. And I know that he can look pretty good when he comes out here to Missouri and puts on his plaid shirt and drives around in his rented pickup truck and says he's looking out for us. But the problem is his 14-year record in Washington just doesn't hold up, and it tells a different story. So when I hear the congressman come out here to Missouri and say one thing and fly back to Washington and vote a completely different way, I have a name for that. I call it bull. And I want to go through a couple of examples so you can understand what I mean. Now, you remember I mentioned those war rooms, those lobbyist war rooms? Well, it turns out Congressman Blunt is actually famous for setting these things up. There was one example a few years back where the Congressman Blunt invited 400 lobbyists into his office, the special interest group, into his office, so they could get the kind of deal that they wanted. All I could think was, wow, that must have been quite an office. If you could get 400 of them in there. One of his fellow Republican colleagues called that a profoundly ugly and beneath the dignity of Congress. I couldn't agree more. I think they need to ban those. And now, you and I both know that slipping special favors and deals into legislation for friends and lobbyists is nothing new in Washington. But we've got to stop it, especially these kind of special favors. Congressman Blunt has over and over tried to slip into things. One in particular that just makes my stomach churn, it's so off-putting, is the time he slipped in to a Homeland Security bill after September 11th. A Homeland Security bill after September 11th, a special benefit for the cigarette maker Philip Morris. Congressman Blunt didn't bring the provision up in the committee. He didn't tell his colleagues about it. Instead, he slipped it into a bill just before voting, hoping no one would notice. Well, they did. They noticed. And his Republican colleagues called him out on this, stopped it, and harshly criticized him, especially when they found out that this special favor was for campaign donors who just recently had given him tens of thousands of dollars. These kind of backroom deals for campaign donors and friends, it's outrageous. It's bull, and it needs to stop. Now, I also mentioned the importance of transparency. And when it comes to these meetings with lobbyists, and since we're talking about lobbyists and corruption, I can't avoid talking about Jack Abramoff. He's the guy who you probably have heard of, the most notorious fellow for using political influence in Washington. Congressman Blunt claimed never to have met with Jack Abramoff. But then, in the midst of a federal investigation, some journalists decided they were going to ask questions about this. And it turned out, not only did Congressman Blunt meet with Jack Abramoff and his staff multiple times, but during the 2000 election cycle, Congressman Blunt was one of the top recipients of campaign money from Jack Abramoff. It took an investigation to find out the truth. It's bold. And Blunt's record on earmarks is even worse. This fella, who after all these years of calling himself proudly the king of pork, now that he's tough in a tough election campaign, says that we ought to ban him for just an election year, but then we can go back to the way we were doing it before. This is a guy who over and over has done things to benefit friends and contributors. I'm against these earmarks, not just because they're a waste of money, but because the process for giving them out is corrupt. Now, a few years back, Congressman Blunt was one of the top leaders in Congress. And at that time, he led the charge. Listen to this. He led the charge to pass a bill that included a $1 million earmark for a private California company called Perfect Wave. Just a couple of days after the bill passed, Blunt raked in $20,000 from campaign contributors that were affiliated with that business who'd never given him money before. Coincidence? You think so? It gets worse. Perfect Wave was run by a guy by the name of Brent Wilkes. You maybe haven't heard his name, but he was convicted of a felony, sentenced to 12 years in federal prison for masterminding the largest congressional bribery scheme in our history. There's one more thing Missourians ought to know. Congressman Blunt spent over $100,000 in legal fees trying to stay out of trouble in that case. Now he calls for a 1-year ban on earmarks. I call that bull. Now, there was a time when Congressman Blunt and I may have had a lot more in common when it comes to ethics and politics. Back in 1992, when he was campaigning for governor, he actually laid out an ethics plan. Called for banning lobbyist donations, limiting PAC donations, cracking down on inappropriate use of campaign money. And that's why it's all just so disappointing and sad, really, that after being in Washington for 14 years and getting caught up in the culture of that place, Congressman Blunt's now the number one recipient in all of Congress of lobbyist campaign contributions. He's the number two recipient of PAC contributions. You know, it just is a reminder that there are some people who go to Washington to change Washington and others who go there and get changed by Washington. But I'll tell you, we'll never change things at that place if we keep sending the same old people back to do the same old things. So to me, in this election, the choice is really clear between someone who has a record of standing up for Missourians and someone who's on the other side. He's for continuing business as usual, given unlimited access to lobbyists. I'm not. He's for continuing these special favors and backroom deals. I'm not. He's for continuing the very worst things we don't like about what goes on in Washington, and I'm not. So in this U.S. Senate campaign, I'll continue to do what I have always done, and that's stand up for Missouri families, because I know we can fix what's broken in Washington and get our economy back on track, get our nation and our future back on track. That's why I'm running for the United States Senate. I appreciate you all coming today. I hope you'll check out our plan to stop that culture of corruption in Washington. It's on our website, robincarnahan.com, and I'll look forward to visiting with you. And thanks again for coming out and opening your place. Appreciate it.